This is your ADD Cast number 15 for Sunday, January 15th, the day before Martin Luther King Day. Everybody loves Martin. Welcome to the ADD Cast, everyone. I'm your host, Paul Fisher. I'm glad that you're listening. Thank you for staying subscribed and keeping with us. I want to let you all know that this show is licensed under the Creative Commons 2.5 license, non-commercial, attribution required. And joining us tonight, on my right, as always, is my lovely sweetheart, Miss Martha Holloway.
Hey, hon, only it's not quite as always.
Well, no, not as always. Oh, boy, that sounds like somebody peeing.
Does it? Well, it's not. It's Chrysalis Vineyards Rubiana, Virginia Red Table Wine. It's quite drinkable.
Yeah, we were drinking the Rubiana yesterday. Very, very nice. And across from me tonight, my lovely sister-in-law, Miss J.F. Holloway.
Hello.
How are you tonight, Julia?
Doing just fine.
Excellent. And what are you drinking tonight?
Straight H2O.
H2O. Now, is this bottled H2O, fizzy H2O, flat H2O, filtered H2O, or are you a hardcore H2O drinker and just getting it straight from the tap?
I don't know. It came out of your refrigerator.
Okay. Well, I think that would make it filtered H2O.
Yeah. It's cold filtered H2O.
Yep.
That's cold, comma, filtered, not cold, dash, filtered.
And that sound obscured in the background there was me opening my Dominion Lager. I'm drinking a straight Dominion Lager tonight. And typically a very nice beer. And if Martha will do a little exposition, I will take a sip.
Oh, exposition. What shall I say? Well, I could do my mic test, but no one would really truly appreciate that, save Paul.
Yeah, it's getting kind of old.
Oh, is it?
Okay. I don't know if you remember the Honeymooners episode where he was on Name That Tune, and he had Ralph Cramden, mm-hmm. Jackie Gleason, had Ed Norton, who was played by Art Carney.
Okay.
Run him through on the piano all of the popular songs, and Norton would start every piano session with the Swanee way up upon Swanee River on the piano, and that was the final question that Jackie Gleason couldn't get.
Ah.
So yeah, one of these days you're going to do your mic check noise, and someone's going to ask me what it is, and I'm going to go.
Yes, folks, all the strange and bizarre noises tonight will be provided by Paul. Either that way, or possibly knocking into the equipment.
Yeah, one or the other.
Okay, I was just responsible for one of the strange noises. But.
Just one.
So, anyway.
So, Julie.
Yes?
We have had conversations on this show before regarding the once-in-future automobile of yours.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything you want to say in your defense, or shall we recover this ground first?
I think she should tell us the story of the car in her own words.
Tell us the story of the car.
Well, it's a long, 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 long story. And it's typical. I was working late, as usual.
Oh, no. You were working early.
Well, yeah. Late and early.
Yes.
Yes.
I came in one Thursday morning, about 9 o'clock, as usual. And I left at 3 in the morning, Friday evening. Saturday morning, actually.
Saturday morning.
Yes.
Saturday morning.
Yes. And when I came out and walked over to the parking garage where I keep the car, I realized that as I approached the very well-lit parking garage that it was very empty. My car wasn't there. So I thought, well, maybe I parked at a different place. So I looked around, and I went over and asked the parking lot security where it might be, and they checked around, and they couldn't find it. And so I finally came to a conclusion.
Excuse me.
No excuses.
Keep going.
No excuses.
Finally came to the conclusion that it must have been stolen. I've never had that happen before. Never known anyone had it happen before. And so I went to call the police, and they came, and they took a report. And they're very sympathetic about this poor lady who had her car stolen in the middle of the night. And then I took a taxi home, and the next day I went off to visit my mom and my sister.
Down south.
Yep.
Leaving on a jet plane, kind of visiting.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Then I came back a week later, and it was a weekend. I thought, well, I need to get a rental car until I find out if my car is going to be found or if I have to buy a new one. So I went down to the rental agency and found out that my license was expired. So,
oh, I haven't heard that part.
Well, actually, I had a license,
it's a Holloway female thing, and I hope to God it never happens to me because it also happened to my mother.
Well, I had renewed my license when it came up for renewal, but apparently I had cut up the new card instead of the old card. So before I could rent a car, I had to go to the license bureau and get another license. So I took a taxi over to the license bureau, which was open on Saturday, and waited about an hour and got another license and went back to the rental agency and got a rental car. And then as I was starting to drive home, I thought, well, I should stop at the parking garage and see about getting another parking pass because I have monthly parking at the parking garage. And my car, of course, had my previous pass in the car.
When
of course,
it was stolen, along
when
with
it was stolen.
Many of your possessions, including your camera and a bunch of books.
Two cameras.
Yeah.
Yes. Lots of books. My genealogy records.
Yes, we mentioned
those.
Yes,
lots of family data.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I drove over to the parking garage, and I went in, and I had the brilliant idea, I thought, of asking them if they were able to have a record of when my, if the thief had taken my car out, if he had used my parking pass to get out. And so I asked if they had a record of when the car went in and out of the garage. And they said, oh, yeah, sure. So they printed this out, and I looked at it. And I noticed on Thursday, the day I had driven into the garage, that someone had taken the car out about 4 o'clock. And then about an hour later, they had brought it back in. And then a minute later, they had driven back out again. And it rang a bell. I remembered that I'd had to go to the doctor's for an appointment that day, and when I came back, I had realized that the parking lot across the street, which was closer to where I work, was able to be parked in by the public, myself, and so I didn't need to park in the parking garage. I could park closer in the lot across the street. I thought, wonder if the car is still there. So I walked across the street, and sure enough, there was. But the thing that I found incredibly ironic and almost unforgivable of myself is the fact that it was right next to the pedestrian tunnel that I had to walk out of Saturday morning as I went towards the parking garage.
Now, in your own defense, you were walking underneath yellow streetlights, which obscure all color. And how long had you been at work? By that point,
I just calculated that 42 hours.
42 hours. Okay.
Okay. See, we thought that you went to work on Thursday and got out of work
3 a.m. Friday.
3 a.m. on Friday, and had been at work, 18 or 20 hours. No, you had been at work 42 hours. So, all things considered,
Julie, you get a pass.
Yeah, you get a pass on this one.
Thanks, but I didn't remember until I saw the parking record. That's what really gets me.
Okay, well, you still get a pass on it.
Okay.
And you found your car, and it was
and
a happy ending.
I called the police before I got in it so I wouldn't be arrested for driving a stolen car.
Bravo. Or, excuse me, brava.
Thank you. Yes, thank you.
On an expired license. Oh, wait, you got that corrected.
I did.
Well, your license was never really expired.
That's true.
No.
Just your documentation.
Yes.
Correct.
All in all, Not such a bad thing. Did I ever tell you about my friend Frank?
No.
And this is the only other stolen car story that I know. Frank was working as a pizza delivery guy in Pittsburgh at a Domino's. And on April 1st, well, let me back up. The guys at Domino's, you know, were all taught to, like, crowd the light, and when the oncoming traffic, the crossing traffic light turned, you know, green, you know, to be ready to stomp on the gas, to, you know, cut a few seconds off here and there to speed things up. Well, with that kind of mindset, they left their cars running in front of the pizza place when they went in to get their next load of pizzas to deliver. So on April 1st, April Fool's Day, Frank is walking in, and there's this guy that he knows walking out who's you know, always busting on him about something. He goes, "Hey, someone's stealing your car." And Frank's like, "Yeah, it's April Fool's Day. You can't get me," and just keeps going.
Doesn't even turn around to look.
You know, and we're talking, he's walking like 15 feet, gets to the counter, picks up his pizzas, turns around, and his car is exiting the parking lot without him.
Aha.
Yeah. And, well, that story did not end nearly as well as yours did.
Yes, his car took a long road trip without him.
Yeah. They found it like 3 days later in Georgia or Florida.
He said Florida, and we have to apologize. Our understanding previously was that it was found further north than that, but we have recently spoken to Frank.
Well, we stopped in after Podcaster Con.
Awesome con.
Yeah, excellent. And Frank lives down in Raleigh, which is, I don't know, about half an hour from Chapel Hill. So Sunday morning, we scooted on over to Frank's place and hung out with him and his wife, Alona. And just had a lovely morning, you know, talking about the laundry.
Yes. And, yes, this is a laundry cast. We are doing our laundry.
Yeah, my laundry is complete. And
my laundry is still in the washer at home, waiting for me to return to put in the dryer.
It's mm-hmm. so lonely.
Mm-hmm.
It's waiting for
lonely,
you.
Lonely for you. And I'm doing blue jeans. So it's an all-around laundry con. Laundry cast, excuse
yep.
me.
All around. Laundry everywhere, and no clean clothes in sight except for mine.
Except for, you know, what we're sitting in.
Yeah, well, it's theater of the mind. You know?
Right.
Yeah.
Theater of the mime, so there's a lot of silence.
Yeah, whatever.
little hand-waving in the background there.
Ba-dum-bum.
Okay. I know another car theft story, but it's not nearly as interesting as those two.
Well, then
we'll skip it.
We'll stick with the exciting stuff. So, Ilona and Frank are apparently having this ongoing argument about Ilona doing Frank's laundry, and we had probably an hour long conversation talking about,
you know, this just
who does whose laundry and then how they do it,
and
that morphed into how do you do your laundry?
Yes, which was apparently critically interesting. And I have to say, this has got to be the third conversation I've had with people recently about how we do laundry and who does what.
Yep,
very, you know, interesting.
Let me say that in my family, on your 14th birthday, you received, as one of your birthday presents, your own laundry basket. And you were responsible, at the age of 14, for getting your dirty clothes into the basket, hauling it downstairs, and doing your own wash and drying it. And this was a little bit of social Darwinism on the part of my parents that worked to this day. Because I kind of really shy away from having other people do my laundry. When I first moved down to Virginia from New York, I was rooming with a friend of ours named Lou Perna, and I had, I think, a grand total of like 18 work shirts, which I washed myself and dried myself. Actually, I didn't dry them. I would hang them all up because they were all cotton, and if you dried them, they would shrink. So I washed them in cold, and then I would hang them up. And after, oh, a good, you know, 8 or 9 months of observing this behavior, Lou decided to help me out one day when he saw that my work clothes, 3 weeks worth of work clothes, 15 out of 18 shirts, the majority of my wardrobe, And we were not making a lot of money, and it's pretty expensive to live in the D.C. area. So this is a major investment of mine, is in the washer. So instead of waiting, half an hour or an hour for me to come home, he decides he's going to help me out, and he puts them in the dryer. And I got to tell you right now, I think maybe three of them fit me after that.
They must have been blends.
Those must have been blends, but I had this red and white pinstriped Egyptian cotton shirt. I cannot tell you where I found it, because I hardly ever shop for clothes. I just despise shopping for clothes. I loved this shirt. This shirt, was probably the right size for a five-year-old after being in the dryer.
It didn't fit Lou? I mean, Lou was smaller
than you. Lou is a very slight build kind of guy, but it might have fit Lou if he had had, knuckle-dragging arms.
Oh, well, that could be fixed.
Yeah, well, I was pretty torqued off about that. And
you definitely didn't want to see that red and white pinstripe Egyptian cotton shirt on Lou after that.
No. I was not in a real giving mood after that.
Ah, well, laundry crises. I came home from college for the weekend to my mother's house, and was doing my own laundry at my mother's house, was almost done. The last thing that I wanted to wash were my wool sweaters. Now, this is an odd thing for someone in South Mississippi to have, is a wool sweater, because it doesn't usually get cold enough for wool, unless your sole means of transportation is a bicycle. Then you want wool, because it'll keep you warm even when you're soaking wet. And my mother, I put the sweaters into the washing machine. I was going to set everything, put the soap in, do the wash on gentle and cold water. And we went off to lunch. I came back, did a couple of things. I walked in to the laundry room, and the washer was already running. And I said, "Mama, did you take my clothes out?" "Oh, no, I started them." She had started them. She'd poured in soap. Regular soap, not wool soap. She'd poured in soap, and she had started it on the settings that were already on the washing machine, which is to say, warm water.
And those then became extremely thick wool sweaters for children.
Boiled wool sweaters, yes.
What about you, Julie?
I had a similar experience to you.
Yeah.
At a point when Martha and I were living together. In our family, I think most of us didn't start our laundry until we went to college. But so when Martha and I were living together, not long after Martha had left college and was considering, we'd moved up here and she was considering moving to start college up here for an additional degree, I had come back from Europe with this wonderful favorite pale yellow linen blouse. Loved that blouse. Absolutely loved it. And Martha said she was going to do the laundry, and she put everything in, but she didn't read the label on the linen. And so I don't recall if it was hot water in the wash or the hot air in the dryer, but the linen blouse was a perfect size 2. And I'm not a size 2. However, a much more interesting and amusing story about laundry occurred when I was in college, and I had a number of friends, and we were all doing our laundry, except for one guy who didn't know how to do laundry, and so he would go home every weekend so his mom could do his laundry, and then he'd bring back the fresh laundry every weekend. And then as we got closer to graduation time, this friend decided he needed to get married because he was getting a job well away from home, and he didn't think he could get home every weekend to get his laundry done. So he hit on everyone in our group. Hit on every woman in our group trying to get us to marry him so that he'd have someone to do his laundry.
All the reasons in the world not to get married. I gotta say that, having someone do your laundry is gotta be the worst one yet.
Right up there.
Right up there. All right. So we're going to take a little break here to play some promos, And we'll be back in a few. I'm also going to shake things up and throw a little song in, so I hope you enjoy it.
Good news, everyone. Several years ago, I tried to log on to AOL, and it just went through. We're online.
The Pocket and the Pendant is a sci-fi fantasy book. It's meant to be a crossover, and I really was aiming to create something that was satisfying to an adult, but yet enjoyable and understandable to a kid. Most of the listeners and readers of the book actually have been adults, I'd say somewhere around 80% or so. I've tried to make something that's sort of in the same vein as His Dark Materials, or, you know, The Chronicles of Narnia, but just sort of updated with an American tilt. Some people have called it a cross between Stargate and Narnia. There's a lot of ancient Sumerian mythology. There's a lot of ancient civilization kinds of things. There's quantum mechanics. And there's a lot of UFOs. But there's also magic books. There's also a lot of human drama between the characters. You know, it's a 100,000-word novel. It's unabridged. It's a little bit bigger than The Hobbit. So I really tried to go for an American feel to it. So you'll see it's set in America. You know, we start off in California, and the action sort of takes us into New York. So it's called The Pocket and the Pendant. The website is pocketandpendant.com. There is actually a book available on amazon.com or barnesandnoble.com. So I hope you'll join us for The Pocket and the Pendant.
Chick only made you nuts, man. She cheated on you how many times?
8.5.
8.5?
Party at John Kay's senior year. I get blitzed, pass out in his bedroom. Caitlin comes in and jumps all over me.
So that's cheating?
No, in the middle of it, she called me Brad.
She called you Brad?
She called me Brad.
That's not cheating. People say crazy shit during sex. One time I called this girl Mom.
A Lone Star ship manned by a ragtag group of heroes hurtling through the barriers of time and space in a never-ending pursuit to right the wrongs of incredibly villainous villains. One man alone leads them in their quest. He is the world's most brilliant scientist, Dr. Floyd. And these are your radio adventures of Dr. Floyd. When Dr. Floyd's time and space travel device is stolen by his arch-nemesis, the vile Dr. Steve, he must race through time and space in a never-ending quest to retrieve it. Along with his young protege, Dr. Grant, and their faithful robot companionships, Dr. Floyd will stop at nothing to reclaim the stolen time and space travel device and bring Dr. Steve to justice.
I will stop at nothing to reclaim that time and space travel device and bring you to justice, Dr. Steve.
Try as you like, Floyd. You'll never be able to... Wait a minute. Didn't the narrator just say that?
Say what?
The line you just said about stopping at nothing to reclaim the time and space travel device and bring me to justice.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe he did. What?
Well, I think it's pointless if the narrator gives out exposition on the plot and then you reiterate it. I mean, that seems silly.
Well, to an evil mind like yours, Dr. Steve, I'm sure it sounds quite silly. But I'm telling you now, I will stop at nothing to reclaim the time and space travel device and bring you to justice!
No, brother.
Yes, fans, set your imagination to fun. This is the Radio Adventures of Dr. Floyd, brought to you via podcast by drfloyd.com. That's drfloyd.com. New episodes of the podcast arrive every Monday. Subscribe now or regret it for the rest of your life. drfloyd.com. That's drfloyd.com.
Assalamu alaikum, Mike.
Wa alaikum salam.
Something new, and it's breaking my heart, but you're leaving. Baby, I'm grieving. But if you wanna leave, take good care. Hope you have a lot of nice things to wear. But then a lot of nice things turn bad out there.
You gotta love the punk music. They take a 6-minute song, turn it into a 2-minute and 30-second song.
Absolutely.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
I can't wait to hear them do a cover of like Inagata DeVita or Alice's Restaurant. You know, Alice's Restaurant in 4 minutes.
Yeah, there you go.
That would be great. That was Me First and the Gimme Gimmies. Great stuff. We'll put a link in the show notes to their website. You can download that track if you want it from them. It'll be better quality than what you're going to get out of us, because I'm going to compress the living shit out of this track. So you've been warned. Don't go clipping things out of my show. Go get it yourself. All right.
All right. Well, I just have to say, Julie, you know, I'm sorry about the yellow linen shirt. I don't even remember it.
Don't sweat it. Don't sweat it. Let's move off of the laundry topic.
No more laundry.
No more laundry. Let's be done with it. Have no more, as they say.
Well, talking about long tracks, that reminded me this afternoon how I was listening to American Pie by Don McLean.
Oh, great song.
And it reminded me of when I first heard it, when it first came out, of course, many, many, many years ago.
Many moon ago.
And I was just getting off work that evening in college in my usual job as the receptionist in the freshman boys' dormitory. And I went back to the trailer where I live with three
girlfriends. Wait. Let's roll that back a little, please. You worked in the freshman boys' dormitory in college?
Yeah, I worked my way through college doing a number of different things.
Okay.
And one semester I worked at the front desk at the freshman boys' dorm.
Okay. Now, so mm-hmm. you got a bunch of 19-year-olds, you know, just that have to walk past you mm-hmm. multiple times a day.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta believe that.
Well, I only worked in the evening.
Oh, okay. But even so. Oh, even worse. And what time did you get off work?
Midnight.
Okay. So, on average, how many times a day did they try to pick you up?
It's hard to remember after all these years. But I know it was every time I worked.
They weren't doing a good enough job, Julie.
Well, I was an older woman. I was, you know, 2 or 3 years older than they were, so they really didn't interest me that much.
Yes, but I'm sure you interested them.
Unless they came through in the summertime, you know, with their shirt off, then that, of course, was more interesting that way.
But we digress. You were going to tell us about...
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I was returning home on my bicycle after midnight in this small southern town, back to the trailer where I live with two girlfriends and one of their boyfriends. And they had all gotten the new Don McLean album with American Pie and a bunch of other great stuff on it. And they had been playing it probably for the last 4 hours and having a wild celebration, you know, album coming out party with lots of liquor, especially our favorite strawberry daiquiris.
Mm.
And I got there and everyone was having a great time except me. I mean, you know, how it is when you come to a party or you're at a party and you're the only one that's not drinking.
Yeah.
Or not yet drunk.
Not yet drunk, yes.
Yeah, been there.
And I have learned from an earlier episode that you can't catch up quickly, because if you do, it usually comes out your nose.
Please proceed, Julie.
Yeah. Keep going.
So I tried to drink, you know, as quickly as possible without, you know, risking this messy habit. But I never did succeed, and we ran out of strawberries, so I had to end up eating just lime daiquiris, you know, drinking just the lime daiquiris. And that wasn't nearly as good and harder to catch up with. And everybody started to pass out, so I was left listening to Don McLean, American Pie, all my by myself. And it was wonderful with all these people lying around the floor. and
in a drunken stupor.
And then I heard what I thought was really an even better song on the album, and that was the one about Starry Night. I loved Starry Night. Oh,
Starry Night's a great song too.
Starry Night,
but I don't actually remember encountering the album. I always had the 45.
I have the album.
Oh, okay. So, but on the 45, it was split over two tracks. It was you had the radio release on one side, and if you flipped it, it kept going.
Oh.
So the whole American Pie song is like 7 minutes long.
Yes.
And you got like 3.5 on each side. And what they played on the radio was the A side of the 45. Now, on the album, is it just one big long track?
Yep. One long track. You just keep going.
Now, wait a minute. Wasn't this a Madonna song? I mean, who is this Don McLean guy?
Don McLean?
I just had to.
Okay. Never more will you bring that woman's name up on the show. Never more. If you ever want to come back.
Okay, sweetie. Being the youngest Holloway present, I had to just, make an effort to mention Madonna.
I just tell you about mentioning her name?
Kiss it.
Kiss it, I'll spank it.
Gonna spank Madonna?
I wouldn't kiss that.
Anyway, going right along. 45s, the difference 45. Between 45s and albums.
Yeah, so you got to hear the whole long version all the way through.
It was on the radio constantly. It was the most popular song for just, weeks and weeks.
Because it was written in code.
It was.
Yep.
Otherwise, they would never have had it on Mississippi radio.
Fortunately, I heard a Memphis DJ explain what much of the code was, or I would have, missed it myself.
Yeah.
But I keep hoping that there's some recording out there that tells you what's...
I'm sure that there are at least 1,000 websites that will tell you, actually probably Wikipedia, if you go and look up American Pie on Wikipedia.
I didn't think to use that.
Would have the whole... the whole exposition about what the different pieces of it meant that he was talking about. Mm-hmm. And if you want to actually talk for a few minutes here, I'll see if I'm right about that.
Okay. Well, of course, it was a song that was big for the people I went to school with because we lived through those years. I mean, 68, I graduated from high school and started my freshman year in college, and it was just a tremendous year for news, a huge turnover and cultural orientation for the kids that year. I mean, people started wearing blue jeans to college, for the first time, instead of, dress slacks to class. It was a total rebellion, people were going without their bras, especially female people.
Yes, female people.
And this was in Mississippi. And of course,
much to the delight of the 19-year-olds, right?
That's right,
19-year-old boys.
But of course, we seriously identified with what happened at Kent State because, we were in college too, and we had.
And it happened at Jackson State.
Yes, that's true too.
Okay, so I was correct. Wikipedia does have information on the various interpretations of what it meant, including Don McLean talking about what it was that he actually intended it to mean.
Oh, right.
Apparently in 2000, he did a video called Starry, which was Starry, Starry Night. He did a video of Starry, Starry Night. And he said, "I'm very proud of the song. It is biographical in nature. I don't think anyone has ever picked up on that. The song starts off with memories of the death of Buddy Holly, but it moves on to describe America as I was seeing it and how I was fantasizing about it might become." Okay, I'm screwing up the English on this, but whatever. So it's really part reality and part fantasy. But I'm always in the song as a witness, or even the subject, sometimes in some of the verses.
I didn't catch on to that.
I'm really screwing up the reading of this.
You apparently have gone to the Michael R.
Menengay School of reading. Cold Reading. Yes. Oh, yes. I was just thinking that, but I wasn't going to diss Michael, but I'll let you do it.
Hey, 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 hey.
My man just talked me into another mixer.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so, and coming up on the ADD cast, Michael R. Menengay's School of Podcast Engineering versus Paul's Bank Account. This and other radio dramas. So McLean goes on, you know how when you dream something, you can see something change into something else, and it's illogical when you examine it in the morning, but when you're dreaming it, it seems perfectly logical. So it's perfectly okay for me to talk about being in the gym and seeing this girl dancing with someone else and suddenly have this become this other thing that this verse becomes and moving on just like that. I actually read that correct. That's what came out of McLean's mouth. That's why I've never analyzed the lyrics to the song. They're beyond analysis. They're poetry.
That's true. That's my opinion.
People analyze poetry all the time.
So if you want to find out more about this, hit Wikipedia, type in American Pie, and you can read it for yourself.
Thank you, Paul.
You're very welcome, Julie. I can't believe Madonna had the balls, and I'm pretty sure she has them.
She's got somebody's.
I think she got a pair of her own to do that song. It just reminds me of the death of the Spin Doctors. The Spin Doctors were incredibly popular at one point in time, and then they went off to this remake of Woodstock, and they tried to do a version of Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, Wooden Ships. And it was awful. And this is like, I think it was Wooden Ships. But they tried to do Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, and they just didn't have the chops. And they released this as a live track, and it sounded awful. And it was just like they peed all over some of the best voices in radio. And that was the last I ever heard of them. So there's certain things you don't mess with. Don McLean's American Pie is one of them.
Thank goodness I have never heard the Madonna version.
Neither have I.
Now I know to avoid it.
Yeah, me too.
And have we spent enough time talking about Madonna?
Well,
I know I brought her up.
For anyone who's wondering why I have this aversion to her, other from the fact that I don't think she has much in the way of talent, I took a winter class in geology at my college, and it was 2 weeks on St. John's and the Virgin Islands, gathering information, and then the rest of the semester, busting our ass at actually analyzing all the data and writing reports on it.
Mm-hmm. But what a lovely 2 weeks.
Oh, what a fucking awesome 2 weeks.
Except
that, you know, down in St. John's, we got two people thought to bring radios. And of those two people who thought to bring radios, one of them didn't bring any tapes, but just by happenstance, there happened to be a Madonna tape in her tape deck. And the guy who brought his boombox actually brought two Madonna tapes. He thought this out in advance, and they both figured that there would be radio that us, you know, white bread Long Island kids would be interested in listening to. And there were two radio stations that we could get, one on St. John's and I think one on St. Thomas. And both of them played the type of reggae music that white bread boys from Long Island just don't listen to.
Well, at least not when you were
in college. It was not stuff that we were interested in. So for 2 weeks, we all listened to nothing but Madonna. Three tapes, two copies of one album.
so you could get it in stereo and out of sync.
Oh, God, yes. All Madonna, all the time for 2 weeks, except for a brief respite where we actually found a dance club. And after that, I could not put up with listening to that bitch on my radio ever.
And to this day, if Madonna comes on the radio, he will change the radio.
Yep. I am scarred for life.
Scarred. Scarred, I tell you.
Scarred for life.
Well, I pretty much share your opinion about the talent there, but certainly she may not be musically talented, or that being my opinion, she's certainly financially and business talented. She's,
oh, you know, you got to give her credit for that.
She's a great showman.
She's managed to keep to reinvent herself so many times and build an audience. She obviously knows how to do that.
I remember the first time I heard her when I think Like a Virgin had just come out, but or maybe it was something before that, but Cyndi Lauper was big at the same time. And people were comparing the two about, you know, new, fresh talent burst on the scene. And I thought, wow, Cyndi Lauper's really going to go somewhere.
Well, she did go somewhere. We're not sure exactly where it was that she went. But
I figured Madonna, you know.
She went there and didn't come back.
Brief fizzes, and then they'll be gone.
You know, I always thought that Cyndi Lauper's best song was I Drove All Night.
What a great song.
Fantastic song. You can really hear the range of her voice, and she wasn't trying to do that accent that she put on for all the wrestling stuff. She really had tremendous talent. But sadly just went away and never came back.
Not as good a business manager, obviously. Well,
obviously not.
Madonna.
Goonies.
Yeah. Yeah. The Goonies was, I actually liked the movie. It was kind of bizarre and strange, but you know, the good enough song was the tail end of the career. Still, I Drove All Night, I thought, was her best song.
It is a great song.
That, hey, and Time After Time.
That's something for you to look on iTunes. Look up on iTunes. You might actually want that.
Actually, I think I own that album on CD somewhere.
Ooh.
I might have to rip it and put it into my iTunes. Ah, if only there were a way to play RIAA-licensed copyrighted music on a podcast without, you know, thinking that someone's going to sue your pants off.
Or, you know, you'd have to pay $5 million.
Yeah, something like that. I mean, the bare minimum is, what, it's 9.7 cents a copy for every download. And
I believe that
And unfortunately, there's just no way of tracking it. And for anyone who wants to challenge me on that, send me an email, addcast@gmail.com, and I will explain to you why it can't be tracked. Anyway, I'm going to take us out of here. Our ending track is going to be a song called Podcast Star, which is by Jeff...
Jonathan Colton?
No.
No?
Jeff Ostrich.
Ah, I thought you were playing Colton.
No. I decided to hold off on playing Jonathan Colton for a little while. The problem with JC...
Mm-hmm.
Is that there's just too much good shit to choose from.
Yeah.
So I have not
it's
heard.
Tragic.
Yeah, but, I haven't heard Podcast Star in a long time. Podcasting's been around for 15 months now. Right. So Podcast Star came out like almost a year ago. So this is back in the dark ages of podcasting. I'm sure that there are a lot of people who have just never heard this song.
Okay. Props to Jeff.
Yep. Props to Jeff and. And we'll move on. As always, you can visit the website at www.addcast.net. You can send us email at addcast@gmail.com.
And if you send us email, we'll send you a prize, one of our mini, lovely power cables.
That's right. You too can have your very own ADDcast power cable for your computer. And that's going to be it for us. For myself, for Martha and Julie, we're going to have a good night and finish our drinks. Y'all have a good one, and we'll see you back here real soon.
thisandthatpodcast.com.
Here's the ending Easter egg for all of you that are waiting for it. Special thanks to Mike, Evo, Summer, and Joe over at the Dragon Page, cover to cover, winging it, and Slice of Sci-Fi for playing the living shit out of our promo for the Balticon podcast, and of course mentioning the ADD cast. And special thanks again to Mark Foreman, the Brooklyn Blues Man. His podcast can be found at legup.blogspot.com on his December Beer is Good for What Ails Ya, A-L-E-S. He used a bunch of clips from this here show, this here thing that we like calling a show, and it was just great. And to anyone else out there who's been playing our promos for the Balticon podcast, we want to thank you here. And I'll be working on a promo for the ADD cast this week, and Martha will be working her little tushy off getting the new content, dynamic content website up for the ADD cast, so you all can leave us feedback in the form of comments. The next thing we're going to tackle after that is probably going to be a phone line. And after that, you know, if you all are good to us and leave us lots of comments, then we'll get some forums going.
Thank you all for listening and staying subscribed. And remember, you can't control the stimulus, control the response.